Hello, and welcome back to the Automotive Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Audi RS4. This episode was requested by a listener, so thank you for that. Also, please keep the requests coming, as I love learning about cars that I probably wouldn't look into otherwise, but there's so many cars out there, and people requesting them is super cool because I get to learn about a new car and I get to provide you with an episode that you want to hear. So let's jump right in to the Audi RS4. So this episode is a little bit unique because the Audi RS4 is actually just a version of another car, which is called the Audi A4. Although, if we're honest, the Audi A4 is not that interesting of a car. It was produced in 1994 and is still being made today. It's a family sedan. It's not all that powerful, with power ranging between 100 and 148 horsepower. And while the A4 was an important car to Audi, as it pulled them out of an economic crisis during the 1990s, the A4 is not that interesting of a car. However, the high-performance versions, the Audi RS4 and the Audi S4, are pretty interesting cars to look into. So, technically speaking, these high-performance versions are created by a company that was called Quattro GmbH. I'm not sure if you say it as a word, but it is capital G, lowercase m, lowercase b, and capital H. So this company went by the name Quattro GmbH until 2016, where it was then switched to Audi Sport GmbH. And this company is the company that produces the two levels of performance cars that are based on base Audi models. They have pretty much two levels, the S line and the RS line. RS stands for Rennsport, which translates to racing sport. The RS version is the highest performance, the S version is kind of a mid-tier, and then you have the base Audi model. The very first RS car to ever be made was the RS2. This car would be made in 1994 and in production in 1995. It was actually co-developed with Porsche and had a very strange engine. It was powered by a 2.2-liter turbocharged inline 5 that had 5 valves per cylinder, 3 intake valves and 2 exhaust valves. And it was good for about 311 horsepower. The Audi RS4, as I said, was based on the A4, and this would be the next RS car to be made ever. It would begin its creation in 1999, and it was seen as a successor to the Audi RS2. It would also have a rather short production life, this very first model. It would only be produced until 2001. One interesting little tidbit is that the RS4 was only sold as an Avant. And an Avant is basically Audi's version of a wagon body style. And personally, I think this is an amazing choice, because the Avant does not look like a high-performance body style. It's a wagon. It looks like you're gonna take the kids to school and pick up some groceries. So, you basically are buying a sleeper. It's a car that doesn't look high-performance, but underneath the hood, this RS4 is pretty powerful. The exact engine is based off of a 2.7-liter V6 bi-turbo that was used in the slightly lower tier S version. It kept the oddity of having 5 valves per cylinder, again, 3 intake valves and 2 exhaust valves, The idea behind this is that you get more air into the engine by having more valves, and more air in equals more power out. But personally, I've heard that these 5-valve engines have about the same performance as 4-valve engines, although it is kind of a unique, cool upgrade if you're looking for an oddball engine. The engine was also developed and manufactured by Cosworth Technology, and came with some pretty serious upgrades. These included enlarged intake and smaller exhaust ports, parallel turbochargers, 2 intercoolers, upgraded connecting rods, enlarged exhaust system, and a recalibrated engine management system. And these were some pretty serious upgrades that allowed the RS version to make a lot more horsepower than the S version. The S form of this engine was good for about 261 horsepower and 295 foot-pounds of torque, which is healthy, but nothing insane. The RS version pushed out 375 horsepower at 7,000 RPM and 325 foot-pounds of torque. So definitely a pretty beasty engine. Another cool little tidbit is that the oil was actually cooled through 2 ways. It had one cooler that did an oil to water transfer, so the heat from the oil was transferred to water, and then they used a secondary cooler which performed a heat transfer between the oil and air. So this engine was fully built and was definitely capable of handling the power it was outputting. In reality, this engine could probably handle a lot more power than just 375 horsepower. It was pretty impressive. Audi gets a big thumbs up for me as the only transmission that you could get with this high-end car was a 6-speed manual transmission. The car weighed right around 3,571 pounds, so not super heavy, but not super light. This allowed for a 0 to 60 time of 4.9 seconds and a top speed which was limited to 155 miles per hour. However, during testing of the car, it reportedly got up to 179 miles per hour. Not many of these RS4s were made, but the people that did get them were impressed. They handled well, they had a good amount of power for the kind of car they were, and they were a really cool sleeper car from the factory. The only complaint that really existed was that these cars had really harsh rides. And that's not too surprising. If you want a really high-performance car that handles well and can put down the power, having a stiff suspension is necessary. So if someone wants to take this RS4 out and really push it and really get everything they can out of it, then they want a stiff suspension. However, if you're just driving around town, doing some errands, having that stiff of a suspension is a big pain, sometimes literally. Another thing to note is that this car was never sold in the US, which is very sad. It's a very cool car. It looks amazing, and I'd certainly want one, but they were only sold in Europe. The next RS4 would not come out until 2006, and that's a large break. The A4 would continue its production through those years. However, Audi simply decided to not make the high-performance versions during this time. So after this substantial amount of time, finally the next RS4 would be released. And this new RS4 had some big changes compared to the previous one. Not only was it based off of a different generation of A4, it also came in different body styles. This is a little sad, as the Avant is definitely the best choice, but if you wanted to, you could go get a 4-door sedan or a 2-door convertible. The engine was also completely different. It was changed to a 4.2-liter V8. Like the previous generation of RS4, this new engine had previously been used in the S4 version of the car and was simply reworked for the higher performance variant. This would also be the first engine to be naturally aspirated in an RS car, and it was actually a good choice. This engine was much more responsive compared to the previous turbo engines, which suffered a fair amount of turbo lag and required being kept up at high RPMs to get everything out of the engine. Although this actually didn't change too much with the V8, as it was designed to be very high revving, and due to this, most of the potent potential fun stuff from the engine came at high RPM, so it also had to be pushed pretty hard to get everything out of it. To allow for the engine to be higher revving, the cylinder block would be completely reworked, and it was pretty impressive with a red line of 8,000 RPM. Interestingly, this is the same engine that would eventually be used in the Audi R8, which is a mid-engine supercar, so it's definitely a very impressive engine. It had a baffled oil sump so that the engine would not be starved of oil during high G turns. It also went back to 4 valves per cylinder, not 5, and featured a dual overhead cam configuration for each cylinder bank, making it a quad cam engine. Power was pushed up to 414 horsepower at 7,800 RPM. So like I said, to get the most out of the engine, you are just 200 RPM away from redline. The curb weight of the car understandably went up a little bit to 3,704 pounds. 0 to 60 times would stay in the same realm at just under 4.8 seconds. Audi stuck with the same great decision and only offered a 6-speed manual transmission. This RS4 would also eventually become the RS4 Quattro, which meant that the car had permanent 4-wheel drive. The torque splitting was 40% to the front and 60% to the rear. This was an attempt to make the RS4 kind of Porsche, Mercedes type feel with a little bit of that rear wheel drive built into it. It also used anti-slip regulation, which is Audi's name for traction control. Basically, if one tire was detected to be spinning much faster than the other ones, meaning it had lost traction, the car would actually apply the brakes to that wheel that had lost traction and send most of the torque to the other wheel. This meant that the car almost never lost traction. The RS4 was also lower than the base A4 by about 30 millimeters. Brakes were impressively upgraded for this version of the RS4, using Brembo 8 opposed piston calipers that came from the Lamborghini Gallardo. These were the brakes in the front, the rear brakes still used single piston calipers. In 2007, a lighter Audi ceramic front brake system was offered as an option. These brakes could handle thermal changes much better and basically removed brake fade altogether. These brakes also reduced the unsprung weight, which allowed for improved handling. This version of the Audi RS4 would win Top Gear's Most Surprising Car of the Year in 2005. Which makes sense, because everyone that gets destroyed by one of these on the street is a little surprised by a wagon rocketing off. Although one thing did not change, and that was the harsh ride. It was still a complaint. Lots of people said it was just too rough to be a true daily driver. And Audi has my sympathy, because I feel like you can balance a lot of things between a daily driver and a high-performance car, but the suspension is difficult. You want it to be soft for daily driving, and you don't want it to be soft for high performance, and there's not that much in between. Audi tried to correct this with adjusting systems and different modes that the car could be in that would change the settings for the suspension, making it softer or stiffer, However, they never seemed to work all that well, and the car was always reportedly pretty darn stiff. The next version of the RS4 would be based on the 2012 A4. It would be produced until 2015. It is similar to the previous generation in the fact that it used the high-revving V8, but with a good amount more power, outputting 443 horsepower. Unfortunately, this doesn't make the car that much quicker, with a 0-60 time of 4.7 seconds. Transmission was also changed considerably to a 7-speed dual-clutch transmission. Dual-clutch transmissions, while not as satisfying as a manual transmission, are very cool, as they use two clutches to engage the transmission. This allows for much faster gear changes, because you don't have to wait for the clutch to be disengaged, gear change, and then the clutch re-engaged. Instead, one of the clutches is disengaged, and then the second one is immediately ready to be engaged the second the gear change has been made. So it allows for very quick gear changes. Audi is also really into putting every fancy new technology into these cars and making everything as adjustable and as high-tech and electronically driven as possible. They are not simple cars in any way. For example, the steering calibration is determined by the car's speed, the g-forces on the car, the steering angle, the turn velocity, and the mode that the car is in, and all these parameters make small adjustments to how the steering feels. My opinion on this is that these parameters and these constant adjustments are great until something goes wrong. If you own one of these cars and you like tinkering on cars yourself and figuring it out, good luck. I mean, there is so much going on, there are so many sensors, there's so much computerized parts to this car that it's very hard to do anything yourself. But maybe that's just me. Maybe people want their cars to take care of everything themselves, and they don't worry about it, and if something does go wrong, you can just take it to Audi. And one thing that did not change with this version of the RS4 was the suspension. It was, again, very stiff. One review I read said that the suspension does a wonderful job of handling the contact between the road and the car once the car is up past 100 miles per hour. That's pretty darn fast, and if you're daily driving this car, I don't think you're gonna get up there very often. Of course, Audi is probably aware that customers that go out to buy an RS4 are looking for performance. These customers probably will consistently push their cars past 100 miles per hour, so in some ways, this suspension is a good choice. It just kind of removes that balance between a daily driver and a high-performance car. But hey, if you're going to go out and buy an RS, you probably want it to feel like an RS. In 2018, the current version of the RS4 was introduced. This car actually moved away from the V8 and decided to use a V6 instead. This was somewhat of an unpopular choice. People like their V8s, and they like the sound of their V8s, and a V6 doesn't quite have that feel to it, that amazing sound and the impressiveness of a V8 engine. However, if you remove yourself from the emotional attachment to V8s, the V6 is actually a better option. As I had previously mentioned, this high-revving V8 does not really provide all of its oomph until the car is pushed very, very hard into basically redline. This changed with the V6. The V6 gives everything throughout the mid-range revs. And performance was not at all compromised. 0 to 60 times were dropped to 4.1 seconds. Top speed was again limited to 155 miles per hour, but the car was more than capable of going faster. Another thing to consider is that V6s are lighter than V8s. And with all RS4s, the engine sits right on the front axle, so having less weight in the engine actually improves handling significantly. So the V6 gave similar performance in a more usable rev range, and improved the handling of the car, and was more efficient and used less gas. So overall, the V6 was a big improvement, despite it, well, not being a V8. The transmission for this newest RS4 would be changed to an 8-speed Tiptronic transmission. This is just a fancy word for a transmission that functions as an automatic, but can be switched into a mode that allows the driver to select gears via paddle shifts. So, kind of a compromise between a daily driver, where you just want the car to take care of everything, and a high-performance car, where if you get out on some canyon roads with a little bit of curves, and you want to take control of how the car is shifting, that is an option. The RS4 is a very cool car in the fact that it is a car of compromises. It is a car that tries to do just about everything, and surprisingly, does it pretty well. They are powerful, and they are high-performance, well-handling, well, family cars. And while they may not be supercars, and they may not have the performance of supercars, that's the appeal of the RS4. It is a family car that is fun to drive. You can get groceries in it, you can pick up the kids from school, but you can also beat most Mustangs, Camaros, and BMWs in those red light drag races. Of course, it might rattle your teeth out, but you'll just have to accept that. They are pretty expensive, as Audis are, but if you're looking for something that you can, well, daily drive for the most part, and still have some very impressive specs and a lot of fun driving, the RS4 is an awesome choice. That's going to be it for the RS4. I know this episode was very tech-heavy with lots of specifications and little tidbits on the car, and not so much on the overall history, but that is pretty much the history of the RS4. It was just a high-performance variant of a family car. If you enjoy this kind of episode, let me know. If you'd like different kinds of episodes focused more on other subjects besides the very specifics of the car, you can let me know that as well. If you'd like to support the podcast, the number one way to do that is to leave reviews and follow the podcast on whichever platform you are listening. That means a ton. Also, recommending the podcast to anyone who you think might enjoy it is also greatly appreciated. You're welcome to follow me on my social media. My Instagram is automotive.podcast. My Twitter is at automotivepod. And my Facebook is at Automotive Podcast. I post car facts and will let you know about upcoming episodes. Other than that, I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you next week.